You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
We are talking about inflation now with Mark Hamrick, Bankrate senior economic analyst. 41% of Americans say inflation is their biggest economic issue. How you doing, Mark?
Doing well. Good to be with you, Tom. I hope you are also.
I am fantastic. Mark, let me ask you this. You know, so many times we see elections and people thinking that the Democrats are going to help them or the Republicans are going to help them, and they blame this one or they blame that one. But you know what? When it comes to financial responsibility, how dependent are the people on what happens? I don't know if there's ever been a study of this on what the government does, what the stock market's doing, or people's own personal behavior. Because I don't care who's in power or what Congress we have or where the balance of power stands. If I'm spending more than I take in, I'm going to have a problem, right?
There's a lot packed in that, let me
take
try
your
to
time,
go
Mark. Take
step.
Your time. You got a half an hour. Go slow.
We'll be here all week, everybody. We'll have a brunch buffet coming up,
and then Mark will be at Haha's. So, by the way, I wanted to mention his appearance. Haha's in Virginia on Tuesday, and then next Thursday, I think you'll be at Chuckles Laugh Academy, right?
There you go. Right. Yes, and then the pet hotel after that.
Exactly.
But at any rate, obviously a bank rate, our bread and butter is dialing into how Americans are doing with their personal finances. And there is no question, I think, that the biggest event that's occurred within the economy over the past several years has been inflation, which has led to elevated prices. Inflation as a recent dynamic has essentially receded, but we're still left with the legacy of that in many instances where a good number of prices remain high. So, yes, 41% of Americans say inflation is their top economic issue for the presidential election. And then I would note that the other two issues that come after that are also about affordability. Number two is healthcare costs, and thirdly is affordable housing. And I think perhaps underpinned by your question is essentially the thought, how much does or how much can a president do about any of that? And first of all, on inflation, a president can certainly make inflation worse. And I think there are proposals out there on both sides of the aisle right now, which could or would indeed do that, tariffs being one, sort of providing significant incentives to buy housing when housing is in short supply could be another. But if there were a lever in the Oval Office to turn inflation off, that would have already happened. Joe Biden would have pulled the switch. President Ford would have pulled the switch when he was deciding one of the best things to do to fight inflation was print up buttons that said "Whip inflation now," and that didn't work too well either.
May or may not be old enough to remember that, Mark. But if I was old enough, it would be pretty silly, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, I actually possess one of those buttons and carry it around with me.
For those that were not alive, let me just interrupt for a second. It was an interesting period because after that you had Jimmy Carter putting on a sweater, sitting in front of a fireplace, saying that the nation is in a general malaise, right? So if you think, y'all, if you think it's bad now, you have no earthly idea. Accurate?
Well, that's right. Yeah, no, for sure. And I would also say in all these cases we're talking about, the principal sources of inflation came from around the world. In the Carter case, it was OPEC. There were lines at gasoline stations for a long time, and gasoline was expensive. In this case, it was largely because of the pandemic supply shocks that both people wanted all kinds of things, many of which they couldn't get, and then the supply chains weren't producing many of those things. So all those things have largely since been resolved. So I do think there's an irony that if people are trying to think about their priorities in the election, maybe there's no question that their experience with elevated prices is significant. But the question whether a president can pull a lever to make a difference there, at least to improve it, I think is highly questionable.
I represent a car dealership. Troy Duhon, he's got a family of dealerships, premier automotive dealerships. So I'm not against the car business. But I think there are a lot of people, just from you look at the luxury vehicles on the road, that might be driving, you know, $90,000 pickup trucks, $120,000 SUVs yeah. that complain about inflation. And that, to me, rings a little hollow. Am I off base here or not?
I don't think at all. You know, one of the things I found the table on with respect to trying to counsel people to achieve their financial goals is, in America, consumerism is the thing. And that's been part of the great recipe for success for our economy, along with free capital markets, capitalism, innovation, hard work, by the way, immigration that have brought so many wonderful people to this country over the centuries. But to your point, many people also want to sort of push the envelope with respect to what we can afford. And I would just simply note, and you know this, that more and more people are taking out very long terms on car loans when we have elevated interest.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Interest rates on car financing,
Mark,
to begin with.
10 years on a crazy car. That's 15 years of mortgage.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. I would never do that myself. And the other part is, whether it's owning a home or owning a car, and those are, by the way, things that have been singled out in our bank rate surveys as being associated with part of the American dream, along with being able to retire from work. You know, many people sort of get to that destination of one of those purchases and then realize, oh my gosh, what have I done? That this experience has a total cost of ownership that I didn't anticipate, whether it's paying for insurance, paying for maintenance, paying for repair. So, hey, folks, listen up. We want to help you. It's about having a budget and not sort of getting out over our skis on affordability. And by the way, to bring it back around, here in Washington, where I work and live and have for many years, it's hard finding a spokesperson for fiscal responsibility these days, right? In other words, you know, it's between the estimates of the Harris proposals costing $3 trillion and the Trump proposals costing somewhere between 7 and 10, don't dare ask how are you going to pay for those things, because essentially you're either going to get crickets or nonsense as the answer.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. I'm just curious. Do you ride the Metro or not, or do you drive?
I have. I have the benefit post-pandemic of toiling in my home. So for the most part, I'm very privileged in that regard.
Having been to Washington,
Metro is a treasure.
Sure. Having been to Washington several times, I'd never drive, man. If I was able to, if they had dependable mass transit, I'd take it here. I'll tell you that. 7:21 traffic now. WWL. 7:26 and a half. Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Mark Hamrick, Bankrate senior economic analyst, about voters and the economy. What did you say earlier about 3 to 7? Did you say trillion or billion?
Trillion.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And whose plan would cost what?
It's been estimated the proposals from Vice President Harris would cost as much as $3 trillion, and that the proposals put out there by Trump, which admittedly are wide-ranging, to say the least, are somewhere costing between 7 and 10 trillion.
Do you remember, Mark, a presidential race? Because I was trying to think of this, where so much was being offered on a daily basis, so many different things on a daily basis, as far as economic policies go in the last month before an election? Because I can't, or am I just not remembering things properly? It seems like every day there's another giveaway for somebody else.
Well, I would say this is an unprecedented election cycle in most ways, and I think what you're mentioning there certainly feels that way. And that really gets to what I was saying before the break, is it's one thing to talk about essentially wanting to use the federal government to achieve certain means to provide a benefit for affordability of a home purchase, or to take away income taxes charged on tips, some of the things that have been out there. But it's another to say how you're going to pay for them. And it's very much the same as an individual who has a credit card, essentially continuing to put things on the credit card with not even giving much consideration to how much the monthly interest is going to cost. And that's where we are at the present with the federal government, where the costs of interest for the federal government are exceeding the expenditures of the Pentagon. And you know, this is not part of our daily conversation. It's not part of the conversation in the political campaign. And by the way, next month, we're going to have a survey that deals on another hot topic that's not getting any serious discussion, and that is, what are we going to do about the pending funding shortfall for Social Security when so many Americans are dependent on that? That has not seen the light of day in this campaign.
Has there ever been any research, Mark, or any way to determine how much people buying what they want instead of what they need fuels inflation, overbuying, if you will?
Not, I mean, there's so many academics out there. I could say there probably has been, but it doesn't come to mind in terms of any verifiable or confident number that I could share with you.
I just wonder if there is not a lot of this is not a self-inflicted wound, perhaps, where we see stuff on TV that we want that we don't really need, but we want it, you know. Sometimes it'll be a pretty girl. It's like, man, I wish I could date her. Well, guess what? She's out of your league. You never could, never will. So it's nice to see the same thing with a vehicle or a house or whatever. Thank you, Mark Hamrick. I appreciate your time as always.
Good to be with you, Tommy. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Mark Hamrick, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst. That national debt is looming. And now you're talking about $3 trillion in one hand, $7 trillion on the other. That's not going to cut it. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk about teens and nicotine use on WWL.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.